When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey guys, we've been telling you about these Slammin' RTDs from Carnivore right here. You can get a 3-pack from $9.99. These are the cleanest and best RTDs on the market. 40 grams of protein, zero fat, zero sugar, and zero lactose.
I'm holding my favorite flavor right here, chocolate. All the flavors are amazing, but chocolate, always my favorite, my go-to. You can check them out. Go to MuscleMedsRx.com to order yours today.
Real show. Here we go. Real show, here we go.
You know that it's gotta be that time, so this is what we chant. What keeps on getting them all amped in advance? Come on. You and I rocking out with Iron Man FE. You get the general's point of view on top of Roger's rants. Whenever it's happening out, we're putting the most minutes in. You already know what that's about. You know that winners win. Crush whatever's on task, check the podcast. It's the champ and the tramp, let the bomb blast.
All right, guys, we got a good one for you today. This one has literally been years in the making. We've been talking about having this guy on for a couple years now. If you're familiar with the show Live PD, he's everybody's favorite TV cop, Charlie Kingery.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, it has, bro.
I almost didn't think you existed. Ryan's talking about you. He was like, I'm texting him. I'm like, I don't know, bro. I think this is a figment of his imagination.
And it was supposed to happen a few weeks ago, but it fell on the day before Valentine's Day. So you're like, bro, I can't do that to my girl. So we had to reschedule that one.
Yeah, Roger didn't have anybody. He would have
been
fine.
I didn't. I had you. I always have you.
Yeah, I couldn't pull off the Valentine's Day one. But Roger and I have been texting back and forth about this for 3 years.
And in that 3 years in your life, there's certainly been some ups and downs. So let's start out with some ups.
Yeah.
Your newest venture
has
been in the country music world, and you got 3 in like the top 25 right now.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing. I was listening to a little bit today. Say Something, I love. What did you say? It's got a what vibe? I think like Jason Aldean, Small Town.
I'm saying by the look of them.
Oh, yeah, the look.
Kind of has the Zach Bryan.
Yeah. The look.
It's the Bass Pro Shop.
I like Zach Bryan. But the song Say Something, which I enjoyed, I listened to that today. Maybe we can pull a little bit of up. But it reminded me a little bit of the Small Town song by Jason Aldean, right? So essentially, you're talking about all the bullshit you went through and the haters and how they came at you.
Yeah.
And you're essentially saying, look, come say it to my face, motherfuckers, right?
That's a fucking online world for you.
Exactly.
You know, anybody can say anything they want behind a computer or a fake account or anything like that. But like we talked a little bit earlier, I'm like, I know nobody's saying shit to Frankie's face, you know, but like me and you, like, it's just like, I still, to this day, nobody said anything online that they do to your face. So like, why the fuck do you even worry about it?
Right. You know? It's not real world.
It's not. You
know? It's a fake world. Yeah, it is.
Social media is not the real world.
But the problem with the younger generation, and I worry about this a little bit with my kids, is they think it's a real world, you know, they do. And you have to, as parents, we owe it to them. You're a father of two, you're a father of three, I'm a father of two. We owe it to them to make that distinction, because it becomes a reality at some point if you let them get away with it too much. You know what I mean? If you let them become a little too obsessed.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in keeping your kids. Frankie's the biggest proponent of sports and getting your kids. I just believe outdoor, get them fucking outside, get them away from iPads. And listen, I'd be lying.
Right.
I'd be lying through my teeth if I said my kids aren't on their iPads. They are.
Right.
There's a time and a place for it, I believe. But, you know, that social media world definitely becomes a reality. And I think to our younger generation, especially the youngest generation, and it's scary. Because it's not real. There's nothing real about it.
No, it's really not. Like, and you see, like, the amount of bullying and everything that goes on social media these days with these younger kids. And you got kids taking their lives and shit and everything. And you wish that you could you wish you could just talk to him and be like, this isn't like, who gives a fuck? Yeah, like, yeah. Who gives a fuck what these people think about right. you? You know?
I hate paying this fucking prick because he's an absolute prick compliments, but he helped me through a rough time in my life, and he basically said, fuck him. You know what I mean? Like, stop worrying.
He's such a pussy,
right? Yeah, essentially. But, yeah. And even with the podcast, obviously we got haters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because some of our views and our beliefs, like everybody does, every For podcast. Sure. But he, you know, and you stole it from Joe Rogan. We got to give Joe Rogan post and ghost, bro. Don't read that shit. Right. That's the worst thing you can do is read that shit.
Like, you know, I'll still look at some stuff sometimes. And if it makes you feel some type of way, even for half a second, it's like you just wasted that half a second on some nonsense.
Yep. Right.
Don't even look at it and it can't bother you.
Yep. Yeah, no. Like that's like what's one thing. It's kind of like a catch 22 because you want to go into your comment section and respond to the people that are like
supporting you.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yep.
And then you come across that one fucking asshole that is true. And it like sometimes it'll fuck with you and it's like why don't you just focus on 99 out of the 100 comments that are good?
Right.
And don't let this one dude that's
That's just what it is. It's just human nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Especially if you have any alpha in you. You just like want to be like, yo, fucking say it to my face. Say something.
But you know, but it's like you're talking, you don't even know. In today's day, you might be talking to a bot, you know, or some fucking little Indian kid or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is one of it's funny that you said that. Like, one thing that, like, I always, like, found interesting about social media these days and everything is because now they got these features where you can, like, reply to people's comments and shit on videos and shit. And it'll be, like, a black person or a white person with a racist-ass comment in their comment section. They sit there and they video replied to it. And then now all these people in their comment section are like, this is what's wrong with the world, racism, blah, blah, blah. You don't even know if that's the same color as you, if that's somebody in a different country.
Probably, they say, like, it's probably, like a Chinese or Russian bot farm that does this stuff to create turmoil. It does create turmoil. It creates racism.
You guys think I'm crazy because I'll screenshot all the bots on our stuff and I'll be like, these guys are killing our algorithm. Delete them. And you're like, you're a fucking little crazy, brother.
No, I do delete them. I delete them and block them.
We especially if it's anything even political at all, there'll be our first 10 comments will be bots. Usually a smoking hot chick that's like
bent over.
Yeah. Like her comment will be like,
Irresistible.
It'll just be like one word, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And fire emojis. Everything's on fire.
Exactly. But if you post a video of you and your kids, you will get none of that. You know, it's crazy. So
Yeah.
It's a weird world, man. I'm still adjusting to it and I'll never ever be fully adjusted to it because I'm just not good with technology, you know? So
you were a police officer though, right?
Yeah, 10 years.
Ten years.
Mm-hmm. Seasons 3 and 4 of Live PD. You were one of the more popular guys, you even narrated it for a little bit, I believe, didn't you? Yeah, or helped narrate it?
Yeah, so I got flown out to New York to host the show with the other host of the show, Dan Abrams, and Styx, but he wasn't there that weekend, so I was taking his place that weekend. But I got to host the show for a weekend.
Yeah. And that's kind of what, you know, launched you into, like, stardom, right? I mean, you had a great personality for the show. And I think, didn't you dance at a traffic stop or something like that? And then you became the dancing cop that everybody loved?
Yeah, so a guy in my police department that I was on the show, we were the two main people for, like, not two of the main, two of the main, you know. We were on the show a lot. He had pulled over a car, and instead of giving, like, a ticket or anything like that, he was like, he saw two young girls in the back seat. And he got to talking to them. They were just coming from dance or something. And so he was like, I got a cop. I got a buddy of mine that I work with. I bet he could beat you in the dance off. Like, no. So he hits me on the radio, tells me he needs assistance. I fly over there thinking something's wrong, you know. I get out of the car. He's like, these girls want to have a dance off with you. I said, let's get it. So we had a dance off in the parking lot, and that video kind of blew up and everything. So I've been a dancer since I was a kid, man. I just love it.
Frankie too.
Like formal, you took lessons and stuff, or just
okay. You know, like you go to a prom and there's a circle, and you get out there and you battle dance.
Hey, listen, you know, obviously you're a tough guy. We can laugh at that, whatever, but didn't the boxer Triple G, didn't he take ballet for like fucking 10 years or something?
No, Lomachenko.
Lomachenko, yes, I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah. Took ballet for like 10 years. Just his dad made him do it to learn footwork, right?
Yeah. What is that? I mean, like with wrestling and everything, you know, like a lot of dads and everything will put their kids in gymnastics and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
Control the body.
Yep.
You miss being a cop?
No.
No, huh?
No. And, like, I got so much more time with my kids now because I'm divorced, so I got 50-50 custody of my kids. If I had the old police schedule that I had, like, you know, I wouldn't be able to have 50-50 custody of my kids and everything. I missed the car chases and, you know, I was on SWAT. SWAT for 5 years. So I miss kicking in doors and stuff like that, hanging out with the guys and everything. But I don't miss the day-to-day bullshit, going to the same domestic violence house five times in a week. And you know,
they say that's the most dangerous.
You've been to Rogers?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Couldn't fucking hold it in, could you? Couldn't fucking hold it in. Yeah. What was your? He wasn't your partner, but he was the other guy. He was funny too. You guys had the foot chase.
Yeah,
that you guys raced each other. What was his name again?
Stu Bishop.
Bishop. Yeah. He seemed like a solid dude.
I think I won.
I think you won. If I remember.
I was in better shape back then.
That's funny, man.
We had a good time, man. It was fun. Like, they'd come out. You know, they'd ride with you. So they did. Like, so the difference between live PD and cops is, cops was always like so interesting. Because it was like it was edited, you know, like they were with you for months and everything. You take the best clips of, and then they put out the show. Live PD was live.
You
don't know what you're going to get into, but it was always on a 15-minute delay in case, you know, some crazy shit popped off, somebody got shot or something, you know.
Right.
But we had fun, man. They come out, ride with us through the week, take us to dinner, you know, it was a good time.
That's cool. Sure. Do you remember, we spoke about this earlier, and I think Frankie disagreed with me, if I remember right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Frankie, but I thought Cops, which is the original show that involved the police, I thought that got canceled because a cameraman got shot in the head, and you disagreed and said, I think you said maybe because
it got canceled
COVID.
Because of, like, all this bullshit going on, police brutality stuff.
That was more Live PD. Like, Live PD took a break. Because of that. It was after George Floyd incident. That they claimed it was COVID, whatever. And they were, I mean, the show's not really the same as it used to be now. But it's still on. Yeah.
Oh.
Live PD?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Live PD's back on as like a, I think
there's
it's
a
like,
show on too called Body Cam. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It shows a lot of shit because it's actual real footage from a body cam, you know?
Yeah. So it's called On Patrol Live now. It's on the TV station Reels.
Okay.
But yeah, I think Cops did. A cameraman did get shot on Cops. I know that, but I don't know if that's why I got killed.
Yeah, I could have that.
You're fucking following cops around.
Yeah,
that's got to be part of it. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm sure he signed the waiver that said if he gets shot, he can't sue the police.
And
department.
I think they wore bulletproof vests, but obviously a lot of guys still get, you know, they only cover so much of your body. You can still,
Probably won't cover much of your body.
You see the abuse I take? Wow, it's insane. At least they're fat jokes today and not gay jokes. Like, he transitioned, you know?
That's not a fat joke. You're a fucking big dude, bro. Come on.
Oh, all right. Well, that was a compliment?
Yeah, kind of a compliment.
It's kind of a compliment.
It might have been a little backhanded. You know what I'm saying?
So, let's talk about country music a little bit, man. Yeah. Was that always a passion of yours?
So since I was a little kid, man, 4 or 5 years old, you know, I had one of them fake guitars strumming it in my living room, listening to Hank Williams and Alan Jackson, Merle Haggard stuff. That's the country that I grew up on, you know. George Jones and everything, and that's all.
Which I would consider to be like traditional country, right? You kind of do this crossover, right? Yeah. Kind of rap country. I think they call it hick hop.
Yeah, hick hop. Yeah.
It's like Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
So that's really what I started out in doing. Was the country rap and everything, and then now, like, I've just transitioned over more into, like, just like the vibey country feel. I mean, it gets like more response and everything that when I put it out. Like, I put out Wranglers on the Floor, a song called Wranglers on the Floor, February 2nd, and went number 2 in the world. Stayed in the top 40 for 4 weeks.
Wow.
And everything. I was hanging out with major record, hanging up there with major record label.
That's sick.
Like, so it was,
and you're independent right now.
Yeah, I'm independent, fully independent.
Are you looking to get signed?
I mean, is that
better? I don't know. I hear like Kid Rock doesn't want to be signed because he can do whatever. If you get signed, don't they kind of limit what you can say?
I mean, Kid Rock don't need to be signed.
True, you know what I'm saying? True.
Like, so like you've got, there's different ways to look at it. You know, when you're independent, you control everything that you do, what you put out. You know, there's not a record label that says like, no, we don't want you to put out this song. Maybe you, like, we'll put this one out in 4 weeks. You can put out a song every day if you want to when you're independent. You know, you work with who you want to and stuff like that. Right. But I mean, you come record labels control the music industry. Yeah. Like, let's just be honest.
They get you on the radio.
You need a record label for distribution, and like marketing, and all that stuff.
Not for distribution. So there's distribution companies out there that you can distribute that you distribute your music through. Record labels are gonna, you know, they come in with, you know,
the money,
big advances,
right.
You know, but I mean that's
and the promotion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Promotion, marketing. They're gonna get you on the radio. They right. got the best. Avenues to get you on Spotify playlisting and everything, right. So you're getting millions of streams and everything like that. So,
now, but, like, who produces your music? Like, you produce your own music?
I don't.
You have a producer?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a couple different people. I use a guy out of Indianapolis called his name's Devin Golder, and I use a buddy out of Nashville, Tennessee. His name's Ty March. He was actually on the show on the song Wranglers on the Floor with me.
And that's your newest.
Yeah.
What's been your top hit so far? Say Something?
Wranglers on the Floor.
Wranglers on the Floor? Yeah. Really? Wow.
Wranglers on the Floor is my most streaming song.
Wow.
And I released it 5 weeks ago.
I haven't heard that one yet. Wow. I heard Backwoods, Say Something, another one. I forget what the other one was. But it's got a vibe for sure.
Yeah, Say Something was a
song. I related to it because of the shit I went through. I kind of related to that, you know?
So. That's why I wrote that song. I knew that song wasn't ever going to be like a radio hit or anything or something.
It hits something.
He talks about some of his personal shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. And being attacked on social media and stuff, like, fucking say something. Like, fucking, don't fucking, you know, actually come say something to me, you know what I mean? So
yeah, like, that's the thing is, like, the first two songs that I released back in 2022, I've only been doing music for going on 2 years now. So the first song that I released in June of 2022 was, it's called Find My Way. It's basically just like, you know, like, still trying to find your way in life. You're going to fuck up. You're going to make mistakes. Everybody does it, you know? And then the next one was Say Something, you know, which was the vibe of like, you know, fucking just like stop talking, you know, like you don't know anything. Like people don't know anything on social media.
Correct. People never know the whole truth ever.
No.
They know what they want to believe. But, obviously they all have videos. Is that on your own budget, your own dime? You shoot those videos? And
that's one thing about being independent. Like as soon as the money comes in for the music, you're putting it right back into something else.
Right.
You know, it's music videos, you know, your production of your songs, your studio time, all that. And that's the thing about the difference between a record label, too, is, like, they'll front that money. You got to pay it back out of your streams and everything, but it doesn't come straight directly out of your pocket. Yeah.
Right. Gotcha.
You play instruments?
I don't. No.
Just vocals.
Yeah, just vocals.
You want to give them a quick, like, tutorial on the skin flute real quick? See what I did there, buddy?
It wasn't that good.
Wasn't that good? Yeah. No. All right. I was trying to get you back.
His skin flute's not big enough to fucking play many notes. It only has a couple notes.
He's got one. His just got two finger holes. Two finger holes.
All right.
This is my type of. I should have been on this podcast a long time ago.
So, listen, something else we got to talk about, and Frankie can weigh in on this a little bit because he did it. You were, before your country music career, before this venture, you were part of a traveling group of comedians called Content Violation, and you did stand-up comedy, which is not easy. I've never done it, but it's terrifying to me. This guy actually did it. I told him, probably more impressive to me than some of his fights, because it's terrifying, right?
It's hard.
How did that come to be? I mean, you were essentially, it was you and a bunch of social media influencers, and you guys traveled the country, and you did stand-up, and it dissolved, essentially, right?
I mean, due to outside bullshit and everything, but, so we had actually... Each person that was on that tour run and everything had built pretty big social media careers or whatever, followings or whatever you want to call it. And so one of the guys on the tour made a video on TikTok and was talking about doing a ride along with a cop. And so like I duetted his video and was like he's super funny. His name's Taco. You might know him. I don't know. But he's talked about doing a ride along with a cop. I duetted the video and was like, you can come do a ride along with me, whatever. And so like it just kind of formed of a group of guys that like would get together once a month and like just create content. And we called ourselves the Ride Along. Like we would literally do like fake police content and chases and like just crazy. Like we found out that we were extremely funny online and making videos, but it's extremely difficult to make people laugh on a stage telling jokes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a different world.
It is, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Joe Rogan talk about this with another stand-up comic, excuse me, and said, do you know how rare we are? Like, do you know in the world, there's literally probably hundreds, like hundreds in the world of stand-up comics, like notable, like people that actually, you know, turn heads, not like the guy that did it on the weekend one time and thought he was great. He's like, literally, there's probably hundreds of people that do what we do and are good at it. You know what I mean? And that's crazy to think of in the world. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So it is hard. It's incredibly terrifying, too. There's nothing more terrifying than standing up in front of a live audience. I mean, I guess you do it when you fight, but it's like something
different. That's different.
Yeah.
You kind of zone. Even do public speak. I do a lot of public speaking, too, and that's kind of along the same line.
It is.
But, I mean, you really, you know, I do motivational speeches, I guess. You know, you're not trying to get, you're trying to get a little reaction out of the crowd because, you know, you want to motivate them. You want them to remember the speech, but, like, comedy's different, dude. You're trying to get, like, a, you know, the belly laughs out of people. It's, I can't imagine, like, I did 5-minute set.
Yeah.
And I did it in front of a very gracious crowd. It was an MMA-oriented crowd. It was an MMA audience.
Right.
The content was MMA, so it was like, kind of easy. And I did prepare something. I had memorized it and everything. But it's tough, man.
Oh.
It's tough.
It's a different world. You get up there and, like, you, like, there's nothing worse when you tell that joke and it
bombs.
Oh, you're just like, you know. Because, but honestly, it was more of like a, like entertainment show. It wasn't necessarily all comedy, you know.
People were there to see you because they were fans of you anyway, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have to open this for me. You know? You got this fake bottle opener. But yeah, so like I was like the you know, I did like dancing on stage and like, you know, would tell some cop stories and shit like that. Like I wasn't funny,
right,
you know.
Right,
like, I'm not a stand up comedian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but music was always what I wanted to do. So as the shows progressed along, we would have music openings, people that would open musically for us, and I would start to get on stage with them and sing a little bit. And you know, I sang on stage with Petey Pablo and Brian Martin, who's getting ready to open for Morgan Wallen. And so like I just dabbled in there, and then, you know, took that avenue.
Yeah.
Realized I wasn't a stand-up comedian.
Right.
I wanted to be in music.
Yeah, that's terrifying to me. Frankie, so obviously two different worlds, but what made you more anxious? Like standing across from a guy in the UFC or standing up in front of a crowd of 300 people?
Standing up in a crowd in front of 300 people. Oh, yeah. I only did that for a month before I did that. Right. Fighting I've been doing my whole life.
Right,
you know what
I
mean?
Right.
So like I'm more prepared for that.
Yeah. And I would think, I don't know, I've never done it, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably tone the crowd out a little bit, and you're focused on the guy, so you probably don't even really realize the crowd is there.
Tunnel vision with that. I mean, the crowd, you know, in comedy, you're kind of looking
focused,
at the crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
I kept Jake Shields in the crowd. There's, like, people I knew, and I kept kind of, like, going back to these people, you know. I mean, that's an advantage, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
I'll tell you, when it comes musically, one of the toughest things that I've done is, like, it is extremely difficult. Like I said, I've opened for Colt Ford and, you know, Jesse Howard and New Breed, who sings Welcome to My House. You know, that song is huge.
Yeah, huge.
I opened for Upchurch in July of this year out in North Carolina. But one of the toughest things that I've found that I've had to do is get on stage and sing your own original songs to big crowds of people that don't know a single word.
Yeah, true.
You know? Because if you can make that crowd clap that doesn't know who the hell you are and know a single song, you know, you've done something.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Absolutely. That makes sense. But I guess if you win them over, you've made them a fan, probably a fan for life, probably, you know. So.
I mean, I've gotten several fans or people that listen to my music off of opening for other people. They had no idea who I was when they came there.
Yep.
What do you think is the best way to, like, I mean, now that you're in the music business, like, what's the best way to collect fans? You know what I mean? Like, get it. Just, do you think it's live music, like going out performing, or putting content out?
A
little bit of both.
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, you can throw your own show as, like, a new artist and everything, and 15, 20 people show up, you know what I'm saying? But, like, if you're going out there and you're opening for people with already big crowds and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. City to city, that's gonna gain you fans.
What about like getting on like those, you know, like the See Here Now, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They have like it's like a bunch of bands,
right?
You know, that's probably a good way to get in, right?
Yeah, but I would say the most thing is like
or iHeart Music, right? That's another one.
Yeah, but I would say like the most way to gain fans is obviously by content. You know, e-commerce is the world these days. You know, like social media is the world. Like that's how you're gonna reach the most people is on social media.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
It only takes one song or one video to take you off.
Do you have, like, do you put stuff out on YouTube?
My music videos, yeah. But I'm real bad about posting reels and shorts and stuff like that on YouTube.
I know they talk about rap, like SoundCloud rapper. What's that? Like, what is SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, like, honestly, like, I don't even know much about it. But SoundCloud was like, I think it was like, you know, what people were using before other stuff. Maybe or something. Right. I don't know. Mm. I don't know much about it.
Before, like, iTunes and
right. Yeah,
Apple
I don't know.
Music and all that. I gotcha.
Yeah.
What to date, what is your, doesn't necessarily have to be musically inclined, but what is your biggest video to date? What's the most views you've ever got on a video? Gotta be one of your dancing videos, no?
Yeah, I would probably say the get up challenge that I did.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah,
back in like 2019.
And
like
that took off after that in every police department across America, right?
Yeah, it was like 200 million views.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he was saying he didn't make a dime off it.
I know. Yeah.
Crazy.
It was crazy. It was like, so like the Get Up Challenge was going crazy, that Blanco Brown song, and like I hadn't seen a cop do it yet. And that's really what like kind of took my social media off, because at that point in time, I really only had like a Facebook and, you know, a personal YouTube account, or, you know, like I really wasn't in that big into social media. It was about the time I started Live PD too. And actually the biggest platform that the platform that I blew up on first was Twitter, because they required, if you were a cop on the show, you had to have a Twitter account, because that's how you connected with fans and everything. That's mm-hmm. kind of what they ran there. That was their social media platform for Live PD. But I was getting ready for work one time, threw my uniform on, and I was like, I ain't seen nobody do this dance yet as a cop. So I did the Get Up Challenge in my uniform before I went to work. About 2 hours later, I checked my accounts, and they're just going crazy. Mm. And, like, it was, like I said, like 200 million views combined on, like, Facebook and YouTube.
That's crazy, bro.
It went crazy.
So they have to, like, approve you for monetization, right? And at that time, you have to have so many followers, I think, to even make that, right? And so at that time,
that video alone.
What would that have made?
That video alone is what got me monetized on YouTube.
Yep.
But I couldn't monetize the video because it had somebody else's music on it. It was a copyright violation. I even tried to repost the video with like a different song on it. It was like, see if it'll just hit again. It didn't.
So but, wait, they'll leave the video up. You're allowed to do that. You just can't monetize it. I got you. Gotcha.
Yeah. But I would have made tens of thousands of dollars on that video.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Wow. So in your musical career, what's next? You're just hoping to get signed? Do you have any like live shows booked? Or?
Yeah. So I've got I just did a
excuse me for keep calling.
No, you're good. I got the same stuff going on. You hear my voice. I did a show 2 weeks ago in Toledo, Ohio. I've got like we're still booking shows for this year, but I got like 10 to 12 booked right now, some mud parks and stuff like that. Like I said, open for Upchurch in July in North Carolina. I've got couple Indiana shows, really all over Florida shows.
That's the way artists really make money nowadays, right? They're not making money in albums because of streaming and all
touring,
this. It's more from touring, right?
Yeah, really. I mean, unless you really, you can make a good living off streaming, but it takes a lot. Mm. You know, you get paid like, say, one person streams your song, it's like 0.00003 cents, you know what I'm saying, for a stream. Mm. So basically, like, how it works is about 1 million streams is anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000.
That's it.
Wow. So 1 million streams on Spotify is anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 per platform. Jeez. You know.
Damn, I didn't realize that. So it's tough. Yeah.
But you look at streaming like that too. Like, I've got buddies with 3 million monthly listeners on Spotify. You know, like.
Adds up.
Yeah, so 3 million monthly listeners, that's 3 million people listening to one song at least one time on your Spotify per month, which would equate to $15,000, you know, $12,000 to $15,000, and that's on Spotify.
Right.
Now, how much money are you making off of Apple, YouTube, you know, Pandora? Does
Spotify pay the best?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. No, they play one of the worst.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But, you know, you start stacking, you know, 30 million streams a month, good money across the board, you know what I'm saying?
It's a tough industry, man. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but, you know, Don't we live in this world though now where you just gotta like suck a couple of producers off and you get right and you
put a dress
put
on?
A dress
put
on.
A dress on.
Yeah, put a dress on. Is that Cat Williams?
If I see you, if I see you in a dress on a fucking TikTok video, I'm gonna know you sold out, bro.
Roger's gonna hit you up.
I'm gonna be,
I might have already lost a bet and did that.
Oh God. Yeah, that's what's going on. I mean, this whole P. Diddy thing is going crazy right now.
Yeah.
They're saying this dude is gonna be very lucky to stay out of jail.
Yeah, they're saying it's like the it's the music industry version of
Epstein Island.
Kind of Epstein Island. Yes, the music industry. Yeah. They're saying like, you know, like in Epstein Island, they say they get these politicians and elite people, you know, doing stuff with underage kids or the same sex, and they hold it against them as blackmail. Yeah. Well, they're saying it's probably Diddy did the same thing. He had cameras all over his house, made people do all this, you know, gay shit or whatever. Yeah. This shit that they weren't supposed to be doing, it's on camera. Now they're
what about to them. What about, I mean, let's go down conspiracy road. We'll stay away from politics, but we'll go down some conspiracy roads here. Have you seen this shit going on with Ryan Garcia, I believe, is the young boxer guy?
Yes.
Like, you think he got hacked, or you think any of that's real? He called into Andrew Tate's show. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
It was his voice.
No, he's saying on video. He's on video talking about
it. Oh, it was a video.
Face.
I thought it called in.
Bro,
oh,
saying
he went to the Bohemian fucking...
I think he witnessed, maybe he got some. He's got cracked in the head and he's losing his shit. Could definitely very well be.
So that might happen to you, you're saying? It could happen.
I mean, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, yeah, true, true.
I mean, I did fucking start a podcast with you, so maybe I have a little fucking head, you know? But
he's talking about basically child exploitation.
He's saying, essentially, I mean, I'm not
fair. Human trafficking.
That they made him witness shit with underage children. Yeah. They made him watch it, like physically made him watch it, and he's... outing them,
but
you know?
Or is he just trying to like hit this hot button topic and just be controversial?
Listen, anything because
as much as he's a great boxer, he's very good. Yeah, comes from like a pretty good family of boxing, all this stuff. But like he is a social media influencer, and same token too. You know, is he just kind of leaning into this?
That would be a wild thing to make.
Dude, that
up,
would be
though,
selling
you know?
Your soul.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's making it up. I mean. Did he really go to Bohemian Grove? He's fucking 19 years old, right? How old is this guy?
Yeah. I thought he was like early 20s, but regardless,
yeah,
young.
Something like that, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if that really happened, man, then it's all true, dude. Jesse's right
like,
about everything.
I know, but how does somebody like that get into the, like, he's a freaking Mexican boxer. How did he get invited to Bohemian Grove? Did he break in like Alex Jones did?
I don't know. But, you know, he's saying, my phone got stolen, I got hacked. But that's his voice on, or you're saying video. I only heard his voice.
He just did an interview with, who's that girl? That girl that's like real weird. She asks like the weird questions.
Yeah.
The UFC girl?
No. She's like a Bobby something.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's big on TikTok.
She's getting divorced. Yeah. Supposedly had an affair with Drake. Yeah.
Wait, that girl?
Supposedly had an affair with Drake.
Little white girl?
They talked about it.
Skinny white girl?
Yeah, Dave Portnoy talked about it.
Really?
Wow. Said he texted her immediately when he heard it and said, is this true? And she wrote back, no.
But like she does these interviews to be awkward, right?
Yeah.
That sort of thing?
Yeah.
I don't get
she,
it.
I mean, she had really a...
That comes naturally to me. When I do an interview, it's just awkward naturally. Yeah.
If she was fucking Drake, man. Like,
dude,
I've seen that Drake video.
She got divorced shortly after.
Yeah.
She's mad. How old is she? She looks like he's fucking...
She got kids.
18.
When she was lactating, remember? She was like looking. She had one tit that was like down here. One up
really?
Here.
Is this the same person?
Girl. Are we looking at her talking about the same girl? This girl looks like she doesn't have tits.
Dude, no, she's got humongous boobs.
What?
It was the little skinny girl?
It
was the weirdest thing, bro. She had one boob. What? Right? All right, hang on.
She's a little skinny girl, no?
Andrew,
we gotta figure out if we're talking
about
the same
What's her name?
Bobby.
Bobby what?
I know who you're talking about.
Hang on. I'm going to find it.
Put the.
You guys keep talking. I'll find it.
She did a.
Oh yeah, pull it up there.
She did a video with Cheeto Santino. The comedian, his last name Santino.
Andrew Santino. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Is that same girl?
I don't know. I don't.
I don't know. I do your.
No, she literally.
Bobby A something.
Put in like lopsided boobs and see what
comes
up.
Bobby A something.
That's going to be a lot of searching.
This girl.
Yeah.
That's the same girl?
100%. Getting divorced, supposedly.
She looks so little.
Supposedly had an affair with Drake, supposedly. With the redheaded dude that does the podcast, that fucking was hysterical when they're on the golf course.
Yeah,
that was hysterical.
He kind of got her.
He definitely got her. Yeah. He got awkward with her. Yeah. He won that one.
Who's the redheaded dude?
That's Andrew Santino.
Okay.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't think I've seen him.
He's fucking hysterical, by the way. But put in what I don't know. Just put in her and boobs. And it, oh no, actually, didn't shit get leaked about her that they're saying is probably see naked pictures of her. Didn't shit get leaked and they're saying it could be that AI shit.
I'm just excited now.
No, I'm talking about where she's talking about her boobs being lopsided. She's talking about it.
I've just seen this girl recently just with these interviews.
Oh, that's another thing to talk about with social media these days. Like, what's real? You know, you brought up AI. You can clone people's voices.
They did it to Taylor Swift.
Fakes.
Joe Rogan now on my FYP page, Joe Rogan narrates everything. He's not actually narrating it. They're just using his voice.
Yeah.
Crazy. He narrates everything now.
Yeah. You don't know what's real these days.
For your page or whatever they call it. All the shit that pops up now.
This guy's... It's all the lingo.
This is the fake video. Video has expired. So she got it taken down somehow. But I don't care about that shit. I'll watch that later at home in the shower. Put on the... Her talking about...
The shower, bro.
I got a life-proof case, bud.
Okay.
What's he typing
on,
now?
I'll look for it. Hang on.
Wait. Just put lopsided titties.
One boob bigger than the other. She jokes about it. But she's like, she just gave birth, I think.
That's her right there, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that's her right there.
That's her.
Okay, wait. Watch the video.
Oh, they see it. Holy shit.
Wait, no,
does
no.
Does he call her Biggie
Smalls? Yeah, look.
You call her Biggie Smalls.
Look at the one, look at the right boob, or the left boob compared to the right boob.
Why is she holding the avocado?
I don't know.
Maybe to explain. This size, one's the size of an avocado.
There's a video where she's talking about it, and she's still very monotone doing the, yeah, look at the video. She's got one boob that's twice as big as the other one.
Yeah, that is wild. And why, yeah, why is the...
You tell me she doesn't have big boobs. She got ginormous boobs, bro.
Well, one of them is, at least. That's crazy. I mean, my wife.
Is this like real, though, or she like got something stuffed on the other side?
Listen, it could be. It's kind of what she does, right? Stick. But I think she's funny. It's just different. It's something different. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's something different. Her reactions.
She is definitely unique.
How did
she
become to prominence? It's just through this?
Through a podcast, I believe, yeah. Mm.
Because she got big name people like on her podcast.
She does huge name people.
Wiz Khalifa.
Huge name people.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't get much bigger than Drake.
Yeah. Dick size and all.
Is that true, right? I didn't see the
video. Did you watch it?
I saw the video. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I didn't see the video.
Yeah, is he smashing a girl?
No, he's just fucking playing with his dick in the mirror.
They say it's like fucking
dude.
Like one of those fucking things. That, you know those things at Spencer's that you try to grab and you can't grab it?
It's like, it looked like one of them like floppy things that hang out in front of like the store, the tax season.
The balloon thing in front of the store, yeah.
Jeez. That would suck probably.
Yeah,
she can't be doing too many TikTok dances with that thing.
No wonder she divorced her husband. She's a size queen.
So she was married, this girl?
She's going through a divorce right now, I believe.
Wow, she has two kids.
Yep.
So she's 26, two kids.
Spouse, wow. Corey.
This guy, huh? Yeah, I can see why she's leaving him.
Yeah, it's funny what fame does. Like, when this is all over, this ride is all over, because she would probably still be married if she wasn't famous. Probably. I'm not saying...
You don't know.
Probably. Probably, right?
Probably.
When this is all over, said and done, the fame and the notoriety has gone away.
Boobs are flattened, both of them.
Will she regret being famous? You got to think, bro. There's a lot of people out there. Britney Spears? Yeah. Britney Spears probably regrets getting famous.
Britney Spears, I don't think she knows what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Right, but...
She probably doesn't remember
she be like
she's
that?
Famous.
Would she be like that? with the knives? She got the fucking knife? Yeah. Would she be like that if she never rose to fame?
She probably wouldn't be fucked up in the head like that.
Yeah.
No.
Didn't she
emancipated
from her father?
She was in a conservatorship.
At 30 years old? Man, yeah. Fucking, you know what I mean?
Apparently her father, she blames it on her father, like putting her through a lot of shit and stuff like that, right?
She was in a conservatorship for years and years. I think still might be, but.
No, she got out of it now.
She did, but she's not sane. She's not well.
No.
She's not well.
Who's the other girl, the Disney star that was famous as a child and
Amanda
is
Bynes.
Absolutely nuts now. Yeah. Like nuts.
She's going
like monotone.
Or something.
She's totally monotone. When she talks, she's like,
"What's that?
Hi, guys. Thank you all for.
Soccer movie.
She was in a bunch of movies.
soccer movie as a kid, huh? She's all that.
So again, I pose to you the question, and I'm not saying it happens to everybody, because obviously some people, Justin Timberlake, for example, was in the Disney shit the same time.
Like, look at her, bro. Oh my goodness.
It's crazy.
Oh, is that her right there?
That's her on the right, bro.
She looks like she dated Roger.
And you got to listen to the way she talks. It's like monotone. It's crazy.
That's a tattoo on her face.
No, that's not her.
Yeah.
But you take, like, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake. They both came up in fame together, right? They were both part of that fucking
Mickey Mouse Club.
Mickey Mouse
so
Club.
So was Ryan Gosling. So was Christina Aguilera.
Seemingly, he turned out normal. I don't Who know. Did? Seemingly, Justin Timberlake turned out normal. She didn't. So
well, he dogged her.
Can everybody...
Maybe he was the...
Catalyst
the of it, yeah.
Do you think certain people just can't handle fame and money and that rise so quickly?
Yes, I'm sure, but yeah. I think certain people, like, I mean, I don't know if you know people, but I know people that were normal at one time, and now they're not normal no more. And I don't know if it's drugs or
that's
schizophrenia.
That's a fair point.
Stuff like that. So I think
that is
like,
a fair point.
It's just they're just part of that percentage. Then you know, if they were a nurse or a famous person, they ended up crazy.
I can think of one that I bet you're thinking of too.
Yeah,
Diner.
Yeah, yeah, a couple.
You know what I mean?
I know about a few people, bro. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the mental warfare of this stuff probably has a toll on you, and that might lead you to doing it. Like, you can't tell me Britney Spears ain't doing drugs.
Yeah, or at least.
I mean, I'm not going to say she is, but at some point in time,
in her life,
where something has gone on for her to be doing what she's doing on Instagram.
We talk about social media, right? And I feel like we're pretty with it, pretty lucid, pretty normal, hold down jobs, and. We haven't gone off the deep end, any of us, right? And we get the negative comments. I mean, I read this girl's comments because I watch her shit. I would never fucking comment negatively. What is that? Yeah. That you're a scumbag if you do. Every comment is nasty and negative. Everyone
about
does
this girl?
Does she read her comment? Yeah, like what the fuck happened?
Honestly, I didn't know she had social media.
She posts a lot, and people hammer her, and like, I mean, does she not read it? Like, or does she just accept it, or what?
Mm-hmm.
It's sad because something's like, obviously off with her. Something is wrong, you know? Yeah. That's a wig she's wearing. That's not even her real hair. She's like shaved her head. That was like the first sign with Britney, was it not? When she shaved her head, remember?
Yeah.
She literally was at a salon, grabbed a thing.
A car with an umbrella.
Umbrella, right. Yeah, that paparazzi.
That was like back in 2007 when she shaved her head, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's sad, man, because, you know, she's lost relationships with her children. But again... Not everybody, I think, can handle fame, because I do believe fame, to some degree, plays a part in this.
But like we talked about, like, these big fame, you know what I'm saying? Amanda Bynes, Britney Spears, like, they were big fame, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm reading this headline here about, like, some child stuff claimed against a former professional mentor
Of
hers.
Yeah, that's like Drake Bell, right? Did you do for...
I didn't even see that.
Drake?
Yeah.
No, who's that guy, right? He was in the show Drake. He got molested by his, like, that's the guy's name?
Yeah,
that's
Drake
and Josh. So Drake Bell's the guy that is saying he got molested by one of the,
This is a recent article.
One of the acting coaches or something like that, right? I forget what it was.
Well, I still think there's weird shit that goes on in Hollywood that fucks people up.
I mean, we're seeing it more and more.
So wait, what? I didn't follow. What is the story? That guy...
He got molested or something.
Oh, he got molested.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So
by,
what?
I forget exactly. By his what? Abused him, but who? He was a
former mentor or something.
Yeah, but he worked on set or whatever. The guy. So yeah, I mean, you know.
Seems to be very common in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's something that goes on behind the scenes and shit like that where you got to, like, pay dues to get fame.
I mean, that's almost, you know, stay with me here, but that's almost biblical. You're selling your soul, right, to the devil, essentially, for fame, right?
Right.
I mean, and you have to keep this secret for the rest of your life.
Right.
That something horrible you either witnessed or was done to you to reach this pinnacle of fame. Like, is it always a choice, you think, or sometimes... Or some people, was Ryan Garcia, for example, was he forced into it? Or is it always a choice?
What do you mean, like, forced into what?
Like, do they give you a choice? Do they pull you into a room? Did you see that one comic talking about...
athletes, I think, are different.
No, who's the comic? He's very involved in the crowd. All the chicks love him. He's the young comic, whatever.
Andrew Schultz?
No, it's Matt Rife.
Matt Rife.
Yeah. Did you see the other comic
talking about
pulled into a room?
No, no, I know. But you see, he came out.
He rebutted it.
He was like, dude, he's like, bro, it was a parody or whatever. You know what I mean? He's like, I was bullshit. It was a joke. It wasn't for real. If you couldn't tell, it was a joke. So
saying the other guy was saying it was a joke.
The guy that said that Matt Rife was sucking dick said he was saying it was a joke.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't see that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that explains one thing. There's a million other things.
Or did he get fucking like, yo, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You better renege what you said.
Right.
That's kind of like.
What'd you say?
Kind of rap. I heard what he said.
Edit that out, dude. What the fuck, bro?
Bro, Roger, listen. Roger's favorite word.
Yeah, right.
He's a 3%er. Yeah. You know that, right?
Oh, dude.
Did we not talk about this earlier? It has nothing to do with race whatsoever. That's how much this guy knows about history.
Careful.
You guys should have given me a packet on this, like, podcast or something.
You probably win a game if I told you we're wrong, right? Really.
What did I get drug into here? But no, that kind of wraps up like what we were talking about, like, you know, like you were saying something that you saw and then you're like, no, it actually was this. So that's social media and the mm-hmm. news in general. Mm-hmm. You know what
all
I'm saying?
Hearsay and
it's all hearsay.
Could not be true. That's honestly, if COVID or just everything, the way the world went the last 4 years showed me is I don't believe anything.
Yep.
I think that's kind of what was part of their mission. Let them think nothing's true, because then we'll be able to fucking do whatever we want.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, you think that? No, I think they were legitimately trying to sell it and make believers out of everybody.
No, but yeah, but this is the byproduct of it. If that don't work, they just won't think anything's true.
Well, they lost half the country, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
They lost half the people they were trying to convince.
I don't know.
What's the saying? The saying's like, believe nothing that you hear and half of what you see or something?
Right.
That's social media for
you. Yeah, absolutely. Especially, like, dude, like you said, with AI, I felt like in the 70s, 80s, they were like, or 60s maybe, they were like, oh, we can't tell who these robbers are or these killers are. Then, like, 80s, 90s, 2000s, oh, we got fucking videos. We could catch them. We could see who they are now. Yeah. Now it's like, that ain't me, bro. That's not me. I could video you. Well, that's not me. Can you prove that's me? Because that looks like AI to me. You know what I mean? There's got to be, like, stamps, like, you know, like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, Andrew? Like a time stamp or a ink stamp to show a video is real. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you call that?
Watermark.
A watermark, yeah.
Yeah, there's
a watermark to show that it's true.
There's AI voices. There's apps where you can create entire text threads.
Yeah.
You know, like there's all types of shit that you, like, you don't know what the fuck is real. That's why I don't believe anything. Like, I watch these people on TikTok and everything. They get on there and, like, they get out of a relationship and they start trashing the other person or something like that. I'm like, I don't even pay attention to this shit. Like, I wasn't in your relationship. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't listen to anything that I see on social media.
Yep.
Roger, you want a nipple for that beer, buddy?
Is this my first one?
Yes, that is.
Me and Frankie are on our second. Yeah, you were the one that was a man. You were the one.
A real man.
Can you open another one for me like a real man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go down a different route with that, Frankie. I thought you were going to, and let's not, because it's politics, but I thought you were going to say something about the Patriot Act. And like,
what?
You know, when you were talking about, you used to see, you know, nobody could figure out who a robber was, and then we came in this world, you said AI. I thought you were going to say, like, now we're all surveilled all the time.
Oh, I know.
That's how they found the Boston terrorists, because they were under 24-hour surveillance, basically, from the time they did it. But it was a lot of digging to figure out, you know, to... Like timestamp
it. What are you saying?
I just thought you were going down a different road. I thought we were talking about like losing our rights, but
I mean,
I mean, you talk about being like under like surveillance all the time. Like, have you ever thought about something or like been talking to somebody about something and get on your fucking phone and there's like 20 fucking things that what you were talking about?
All the time, bro.
How's that happen?
All the time.
Roger opens his phone, sees nothing but dildos and fucking.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's always on his mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As much as you talk about it, it's got to show up on your phone occasionally because you talk
about it
a lot.
Actually, it never does because it knows I'm anti. It knows I'm anti.
Anti-dildo?
Anti, I mean, yeah. Especially this guy's like dildos he likes.
Here we go.
I mean, I don't know. Roger might be pro-dildo, maybe. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with a dildo as long as you're using it on your girl. There's nothing wrong with it.
I got my own built-in dildo.
Yeah,
that's a rabbit. It's one of them rabbit dildos.
Nah.
I should have warned you a little bit about this show before you came on, Charlie.
Oh, no. I like
a lot of dark humor.
The spontaneous aspect of it, I get behind it.
You see Mark Coleman? You know who Mark Coleman is? MMA fighter?
Oh, yeah, bro. Huh? Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. But what a hero, right?
Yeah,
what
man.
A fucking hero. Yeah.
I don't know anything
about
legend.
It.
What is it?
He's a fucking legend
in
MMA.
Yeah, older gentleman. He's got to be almost 60.
I met Mark.
Godfather, ground and pound.
I know Mark Coleman, but I don't know what happened.
He was in his house caught on fire.
His parents'
house. Or his parents' house, but he was in there.
Yeah.
And he carried his mom and dad out to safety and then went back in to get the dog and then had to get airlifted for inhalation.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
prayers up for him. He's a legend. I met him a couple times in Vegas. He hosted some, or I don't think he hosted. I think he was just at an after party that I was at. And you know, I hate fucking walking up and like, hey, nice to meet you. But I actually went up and said hello to him. And
he coached for BJ during my Ultimate Fighter. So
that's right. I remember seeing him on there. That's right. Yeah. Cool.
That's some balls though to get like not worry about your own personal life for a dog.
He's an animal. This guy.
But dogs are like family members. Yeah.
So I got a story about that. So I'll just say his first name, Chris. I went to high school with this kid, Chris. We were very, very good friends. Like, you know, Maine, again, very outdoorsy, but always hunting, fishing with this guy. Always good dude, outgoing personality, cool kid. Everybody loved him. I got to tell the whole story. It's a little long-winded, but he had a kid in high school, very young, right?
Yeah.
Him and the girl split up. I know you're going to be like, where's this going? But stay with me. They split up. He took it very hard. He drove middle of the winter, snowstorm. He drove down this desolate road and he shot himself.
Matt,
stay with me. It relates to Mark Coleman a little bit. 18.
Wow.
Went through his tongue, through the roof of his mouth, lodged in his brain.
Didn't kill him.
This lady that lived like, literally, I'd say her name too, but I don't want to call anybody out back there, but she literally lived on a farm with farm animals, lived in her house. She was always up early.
Farm animals lived in her house?
Dude, she had donkeys and shit living in her house with her. Yeah, but anyway, she saved his life essentially because she was out walking down this desolate road at like 5 in the morning, found him, he was still alive, and they rushed him to the emergency room. They tried to do a surgery to remove the bullet. They couldn't because it was lodged in his brain. They just left it.
What?
And he recovered. He made essentially a full recovery, but he had always had seizures after that. But he was a different person. It was in his frontal lobe, which controls your emotions. So I forget, what is that? Your cerebellum, maybe? I don't know. But anyway.
No, your oblongata.
Yes, you're right. And what?
Abdullah
Amagata. Yeah. But anyway, he was a different person, very much. Yeah. You know, I would see him out. We'd be at house parties. Because you're in high school. We're all going to house parties and shit. And he was just very monotone, very, you know what I mean?
Like mute?
Mute. No, not mute. No, he talked, but very, not emotional in any way. Mm-hmm. Right? Very just blank, you know? But still, just came from a good family, good dude. But
did he have, like, regret or anything? Or was like,
never to discuss. I was at the hospital for 2 or 3 days, and they didn't know if he was going to make it, not make it. Made a, not a full recovery, but a pretty much, you know, he looked normal. His face wasn't messed up at all. He shot himself with a .22, which some say is the worst thing you can shoot yourself with because it bounces around, right? So anyway, I'm trying to relate this to the Mark Coleman story here.
Yeah, I'm wondering how
he stay with me. He lived. I moved to Jersey at 21, so now he's like 21, same age. His mother lived right across from my father. Huge house fire one night, middle of the night, like 2 in the morning. Huge house fire. Chris is living with his mom, living a quiet life. You know, he's probably like, I don't know, he's probably his late 20s. And he caused the fire. He was smoking in bed, caused the fire, is what they believe. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what they believe. Got out. He got out, his mom got out. They were outside, freezing winter night, cold Maine wintry night, you know, snow on the ground everywhere. He ran back in to save the dogs, and he never came out. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
What a horrible, horrible life. To have, you know what I mean? Like all those bad things happen to one human.
Do we know why he killed himself? Sure, tried to kill himself originally.
Depressed over a custody battle with his daughter.
Mm. Yep. Okay, I mean that doesn't. I'm sorry, but that doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Yeah, I understand. Right? Everybody
can't see my daughter. I'm so mad I can't see my daughter. I'm going to kill myself and never see.
Well,
her.
I don't think it was just the daughter.
Right? Does that make sense?
Also the breakup. Okay. I mean, it's a combination of things, but and I understand where you're coming from.
I know.
And
I'm sensitive. I'm a little insensitive.
I admit. You are, but that's not always a bad thing. You've helped me with your horrible insensitivity, but everybody's different, Frankie. Not everybody's like you, especially headstrong like you. You're very.
Okay, I wanted this. Like, you go to kill yourself, you don't. Do you feel like a fucking failure? That's pretty fucking. Like, how the fuck can you kill yourself, right?
I don't know.
And then, did he.
Wait, feel like. I mean, I would say the guy put a valiant effort into it. You know what I mean? It's not like he didn't try.
It didn't happen. Still didn't happen.
Dude, he shot himself in the head, Frankie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you think you're done, and it doesn't happen.
You could look at it the other way, like a lot of people do. The guy that survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Divine intervention.
Sure. One out of like 200 that ever survived.
Okay.
And you could think, I have a new lease on life.
I got a new lease on life. God wants me to run into this fire and not make it out.
No, that's not what he. He looked at it.
But
like
he saved his family member.
He looked at it exactly like Mark Coleman was looking at it.
No, I'm saying, we don't know that, bro. We don't know that. Maybe listen. He got his mom out. He's like, let me go get the dog. Maybe he's like, fuck it. Then now I'm really gonna.
Dude,
get
you're
done.
You're.
What do you mean? How the fuck can you say that? If a guy killed himself, was willing just to put a gun to his head.
All negative.
What are you? What?
You
how
think
is,
the
how
guy,
is this story that you said positive? How is it even positive?
How was the Mark Coleman story positive, pal?
He fucking saved his parents and his dog.
Okay, and he might die.
He's clinging to life, man. I'm saying he's going to make it.
You are the most insensitive human I've
ever
met.
Dude, I think he's
going to
make this guy. What do you mean?
He didn't try to kill himself. He tried to save the two
dogs.
You
don't know that.
You don't know the other thing.
I'm just going to be over here drinking still.
But you don't know
this. This is pretty typical for us. We butt heads about everything.
But for real, though. Maybe. I'm saying it could happen.
So he burned his mom's house down and then it was like, that's my way out?
Maybe.
Okay.
You don't think shooting yourself is fucking pretty crazy?
Yes.
Well, then this is pretty crazy too. It could.
You're pretty insensitive.
How is that insensitive though?
Because you're saying the guy burned his mom's house down and then jumped back in it because he probably.
I'm not saying he did intentionally did, but he could have, in that moment he said, fuck it. This is my way out.
Or he said to his mom, which he did, oh my God, the dogs aren't back out here. I'm going to go get the dogs. And the smoke got him. You know, obviously the fire also, but the smoke is what got him, which is what happened to Mark. And, you know, I think he was, you know, I don't know because he was a different person and I wasn't living back there. So I don't know, just like you don't know. But
yeah,
I would like to think that he was trying to preserve life and not end life.
We'll
you know?
Say it's a good thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the first time he was just fucking, you know. Yes, and suicide.
Listen,
suicide's
depression
never the answer
is a crazy
anything.
Thing,
yeah.
And I can attest to that for a guy that went through a fucking couple months of fucking really bad depression.
Same
it's
here.
A crazy thing that you'll never understand, especially a guy built like Frankie. And that's not a diss, Frankie. That's saying that you're just built different. That no, and I never understood it and never did until I went through it. And then it's different. You're like, you don't, logic, you crumple that shit up and throw it right the fuck out the window because there is no logic whatsoever.
You don't know about it.
None. You have no logic at all. You just think, like, it's got to be easier on the other side because this sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Listen, I.
I'm not even gonna.
You are, listen, and I love you, which is crazy, but you are, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I have friends that are too big of pussies, and I know you're going to say, yeah, you're my friend, but you have no empathy whatsoever,
dude.
Yes, I do. You do not.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't know these fucking people we're talking about, okay?
You do not.
I'm just saying it. Like,
if you were
I'm
talking
laying
about
laying out the facts,
your friend
saying what could happen
that something horrible happened to, just me knowing he was your friend, I'd be like, "Geez, that's a sad story, bro. I'm sorry, not you." You're like,
"No, I'm not, what do you mean? It's a sad. I'm just, come on, it's how fucking long ago was this story?
Doesn't matter. Right? Doesn't matter. It's still a horrible thing that happened to a friend of mine.
I need another Stella.
I know, right?
It's horrible. It's horrible. Listen, you could have
I'm not laughing.
You drink Rogers.
Is that still your first one, Roger?
No, second now. Technically my fourth, because we had two at dinner.
That is true. Oh. Thank you.
Got it.
So, anyway, it was something that happened in my life that is similar to what Mark Coleman is going through right now, and I pray. I know you don't, Frankie, but I pray that Mark Coleman pulls through.
What do you mean I don't? What the fucking problem?
Because you're
I'm friends.
You are a horrible, horrible human.
And I'm not praying. I mean, I'm praying he's pulling through. He's going to pull through. How about that?
You believe it.
How about that? Yep.
You believe it.
I do. If anybody's gonna fucking pull through, it's that motherfucker. Mm. Godfather, a ground and pound.
He's a guy that drank too much, got really out of shape in his retirement, got really fat, and then did the carnivore diet, gave up drinking, and was really getting back in shape. Mm-hmm. And that's probably gonna help him.
He's supposed to box a professional boxer.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
I don't know what happened.
Would you, he said he was Charlie, getting back. Would you? I mean, you got a big following. We'd call you famous. Would that be? Is it a dollar figure that would convince you? Would you ever do like a celebrity boxing?
Oh, for sure.
You would do it.
100%.
You would do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a number?
Zach Bryan, bro. Let's do it.
Do you have a number you would do it for, or is it any? You just fucking do it.
Fucking do it.
Yeah.
I just do it. Yeah.
100%. Years ago, I got asked to do it with fucking. Jose Canseco.
Is he alive, Jose Canseco?
Yeah, he's in good shape still, bro. Still. Yeah.
You scared?
No.
We're a little scared. He's a big boy. He's bigger than you, I think.
No. Well, you know me.
He's bigger than you, though, isn't
he? Oh, probably. But you know me. I wouldn't take that lightly. I would train. I would come prepared. I would have the no-lose fucking attitude.
Would you run?
But it cost me money. I had to fly myself out there. I was like, I'm not fucking doing that.
Wait, cost you money?
Yeah, back then. What? This is 15 years ago. Now.
What does that mean?
Like... I wasn't making any money to fight the dude.
What? Well, listen.
Yeah. It would cost me money to fight the dude.
I'm competitive.
So that's why I said no.
I'm competitive.
And you would have been training me anyway. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't believe there's no money. Like, dude, celebrity boxing, no. There's always money in it.
Now, it's got big.
Always. No. Not as much. No, not wrong. As much as now. But
wrong.
Definitely,
wrong. Bro. Nobody got paid back then.
Yes, dude. What are you talking about? Like, you think fucking? Remember when Sticky Fingers fought the white? You got
I don't know what year that
on MTV.
I don't know what year that was.
That they got paid.
But back then, I don't. Yeah, that was MTV. Paid. Maybe MTV paid them. This celebrity boxing's on MTV.
There's celebrity boxing donated forever
out of the whole kitty. I know Damon. I fucking talk.
No, not that guy. I'm saying
that's who I'm talking about.
Celebrity boxing. Period. Whatever.
I'm talking about that
organization. Has been
but
around
he
for
said,
fucking ever.
In your name, we'll donate whatever, $3,000 to a charity of your choice. I was like, well, how do I get out there? How do I do it? It was all on me. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but I would, 100% I would. I'm just competitive.
Yeah. Who in the, all right, anybody. Who it has to be somebody famous. Who would you like to box? Anybody famous? Even
anybody?
Even Instagram famous.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
I just like to knock him out.
I think a lot of people would.
I can't stand that fucking guy.
Honestly, like, yeah.
Let's not go down that road.
On the Man Show?
Dude.
Didn't he do the Man Show with Joe Rogan?
Bro,
right?
He did blackface on the Man Show. He was fucking what's the basketball? Karl Malone. He played Karl Malone in blackface on the Man Show. Look at him now. Mm. Crazy. Yeah, exactly. Girls in bikinis jumping on trampolines.
He's a clown.
Yeah. Not a fan.
He's just a condescending, like the fucking asshole.
I feel like that's a dude that was probably at Bohemian Grove. Like they got some shit on
that
dude.
Guy.
Not a fan of that guy.
No.
And just how he like threatened. What's his name? Who's the QB for the?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
He just like, bro, you're gonna get sued. You fucking with my family shit. No, bro, you're a public figure and you're saying this shit. You're up for grabs.
Yeah, facts. And you can only get sued if it's not true, right?
I don't know how that works. Defamation. I'm not sure. Yeah. I know defamation is a tough case. Everybody's like, oh, I'm suing you for defamation. It's a hard case.
Oh, fucking defamation on
social
media.
You have to prove that financial losses on paper. Yeah. Like, you can't just say, I think I lost. You have to prove it.
Defamation is extremely hard to prove, especially on social media. I just sued the fuck out of people.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to put so much money into it to fucking. And then you got to think, what do these people have?
Right.
What are you going to get out of it?
Yep.
The lawyer going to make the money.
Yeah.
Yep. You've touched on it a few times. You want to talk about some of your ups and downs? Obviously, you had, like myself did, you had some accusations leveled against you. We don't have to get into specifics, obviously, but you seem to have rose above it. You seem to have moved on. It seems to have subsided and gone away. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it was because a lot of it maybe wasn't true.
Next. I rose above it because, the truth always prevails at the end of the day, I minded my own business. I stepped back, I collected what I needed to and came back and showed what I had to, I ain't ever been all this shit that was said about me on social media by an ex-manager of mine, to be honest with you, who was stealing my money. instilling the group of people that was working with us money, and nothing was a problem or I didn't do anything wrong until I called it out and called out the, you know, stealing of our fucking money and shit, that I became this fucking terrible fucking person, you know. And it only takes, like you said, like somebody making a video on social media and people actually believing that shit. Mm-hmm. But this is the way that I look at it, and I bury this shit because at the end of the day, like you said, social media is social media, you know. I believe in God. And Amen. At the end of the day, when this is all said and done and my life is over,
that's the man who will judge you.
Yeah. I don't have to answer for that shit. I don't have to answer to what was said about me on social media because I know I didn't do it. Yep. You know, they do.
Yep.
I don't have to answer for that, you know?
Yeah. So. I think something that I learned, too, through you know, my bullshit is there's way more people out there, way more people that want to live in my past than I want to live in my past. Yeah. I've moved on from it. I'm fucking well past it. I'm focused on the future. I'm focused on my children. Yeah. Focused on my kids. I dealt with that. I took the appropriate steps to make myself a better human and accept responsibility and do all those sort of things. These people that, you know, years and years later want to fucking hold on to that and you know, you're living in the past. Not even your own fucking past. You're living in my past. Yeah. You're fucking weird, you know? Yeah.
Karma's a fucking bitch at the end of the day, right. You know? And I'm only going one way, and And this isn't like a fucking toot my own horn or anything, but like I continue to be successful in the things that I've done because I stay true to myself. I know the truth. I know my truth. I know what I believe because it's the truth.
Yep.
You know, and there's
my opinion on that is that there is only one truth.
Right.
There's no truth. There's one truth.
There's one truth.
And the only people that know it are usually the two people involved. Facts. The fucking people, because you're both probably telling different stories. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And trying to convince a bunch of people to be on your side.
But at the end of the day, there's a reason that you're still down here and I'm continuing to do what the fuck I do.
Mm. Cream rises to the top.
That's right.
Mm. Yep. So, anyway, I didn't want to spend any time on that. I want to keep this positive, keep it moving. But obviously, we needed to touch on that, you know, briskly. And
I mean, trust me. There's a whole lot of things. Like I said, this is
the way you could dig dirt. I'm sure if you wanted
to,
right?
I could trash these people right now. Yep. You know, I could tell you everything that happened and what happened to me and a reason why nothing happened to me. You know, I was contacted by people. They said, "Hey, what happened here?" I gave them every single thing, every single text message, every single photo, every single text message, everything that I had in my phone. I gave it over to law enforcement. I got contacted by law enforcement one time. They hit me up. They said, "Hey, this is what's going on here. This lady's saying this about you." I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm not worried about it." I said, "What do you need?" I handed them over every single text message that woman sent me for 8 months, every single photo of throughout the 8 months of us all on this tour and everything, and her being my manager and everything. Handed over everything to them, every text message after the last time I saw her, of her still trying to work with me and everything like that. They contacted me back in less than 30 minutes, and they were like, "You're good here."
Mm.
I gave them everything. You know, I could put out every single thing about that, but I'm not going to give you any more of my energy or time.
It's too negative, man. Yeah, you don't want to deal with the negativity.
You don't mean that much to me.
Right.
At the end of the day, like I said, you've got to pay for that in the long run. Yeah. I don't have to. Because at the end of the day, I know I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But don't you think there should be some repercussions for the person saying shit that ain't true?
Absolutely. All right. But that's the world we live in.
It's the world we live in, bro.
You know? Trust me, at the end of the day, like, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, you know. Morally, did I do something wrong?
Oh, you have to accept responsibility. Yeah. I do.
I cheated.
Yeah.
You know, I cheated on my ex. You know, I hooked up with this person several fucking times over the course of 8 months. I own that shit. I got to look back at my life at the end of the day and be like, I fucked this up, but I know I didn't do this. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll take responsibility for the shit that I did do. Mm. I'll eat that on the chin every time because ain't none of us perfect.
Right.
We all fuck up. I mean, people will throw fucking stones at you on social media all day while they're doing the same shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's always the way it is.
But, so I fucked that up, but I know I ain't got nothing to worry about over here because at the end of the day, she's got to pay for that shit in the long run. I don't. Yeah. You know?
Now, again.
And there's a reason that I'm out here still being positive, still fucking.
Definitely not going to name names because that would get us nowhere, but.
Yeah.
I believe one of these people is now, how do I say that without You were hanging out with a husband of someone that this person's out with recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy how that works, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, she was becoming a new client of my ex-manager when all this shit popped off. And my ex-manager knew that she couldn't say anything about me on social media because I'd have blasted her ass with every text she sent me. So you use other people and you tell them the sob story bullshit to get them to do your dirty work, and it didn't work out for you either.
Right.
Like, don't ever say I touched you at a show when I wouldn't touch you in a game of fucking tag.
Well, yeah.
And that just is what it is.
Yeah.
So.
All right, man. Well, listen, I don't want to hover on that. You know, no, please.
Where you want to go? Politics now?
you brought up politics, motherfucker.
No.
A little bit.
No, you tried bringing it to politics.
All right. Okay. All right. So anyway, happy to see you, you know, thriving, succeeding. I think you took a little break from social media for a while. You came back strong. You got a promising music career going on now. Doing a lot of live stuff, man. You ever going to come up to the East Coast? Are we ever going to be able to see you over here?
Absolutely. I did a New Hampshire show with Cole Ford. Right. Like, I did it, like, I think it was the end of 2022, maybe. Yeah, end of 2022.
What did you think of New Hampshire life?
Hey, do you know, know the oldest rodeo in America, where it is?
No.
New Jersey.
Is it?
Yep. Cowtown, baby. Oldest rodeo in America, in New Jersey.
You would not think that, would you? Wow. Yeah. You think Texas, right? Wow. Yeah.
Dude, I've been to, like...
Well, Texas, I mean, you know, if you're good with history, Texas didn't come till a lot later than the 13 colonies. You know what I'm saying?
This is true. This is true. However, you don't correlate the 13 colonies with fucking...
I know, rodeo.
Rodeo at all.
Yeah, so I want to... I've been to Maine before, just like on vacation. Like,
whereabouts?
I'm drawing a blank on the city
now.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I'm drawing a blank.
The nastiest, meanest soul you'll ever meet in your life is that guy right there. Just a fucking, just a douche of a human.
It was a fucking good time though. Like the scenery was dope.
Yeah. Yep.
But your sister?
I'm originally from Kentucky, man.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I keep hearing good things about Gatlinburg, but I don't want to go to a touristy place. Is it just straight up touristy?
Gatlinburg?
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Is that Tennessee and Kentucky? Not that right, isn't it? Pretty close.
Yeah, they're right
on
next
the border.
To, yeah.
Right, I think it's a short.
I've been to Kentucky, though. Actually, when I was a freshman in college, we drove from Clarion, PA, which is Western PA, all the way down to the Kentucky Derby. Me and a couple of teammates.
You put the hat on?
Yeah.
And a nice big hat.
I just want to tell you the truth. We were in the center, in the middle, right? Yeah. What do they call that? I don't know. Whatever.
In the winner circle right there?
No, but like the yard. The yard.
Oh, okay.
The
yeah.
I went to the Kentucky Derby. I didn't see one fucking horse.
Oh.
Not one horse. Because we were just drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Mint julep. Yeah. You know, you've been there?
You look like a mint julep guy.
I've been to Kentucky Derby. Dude, a couple times.
They're like, it's Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
With the beads.
Yeah.
Girls taking their tops off. It was fucking bananas.
Dude, I've been to NASCAR and the Indy 500 in Indianapolis several times, and I ain't seen a single fucking car. I've been so drunk.
Yeah. That was fun, dude.
I don't picture you as a Kentucky Derby guy, but yeah.
It was me, Myron. This Myron is black dude.
Yeah,
your
roommate.
And then
didn't you live with Myron and his brother?
Yeah.
And
this dude, Starlin Jimenez, this Dominican dude, and this other white kid. And it was us.
You guys fit right in there.
We all drove down, bro. We were. Dominican kid didn't have his license, and I made him drive home all the way. I was so hungover. I said, "You're driving." He's like, "What?" I said, "Dude, if you get pulled over, we'll switch. Just fucking go."
Yeah, but I'd love to come do some shows up this way. You know,
East Coast is fun, man.
Oh, country's pop. I mean, country's
really?
Popping all over the world.
Yeah.
It probably is the number one genre of music.
I would say so.
I think it is. I'll be honest. I never was a country fan.
Me too.
But I've been getting much more into it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson. Like that to me is country.
That's real country. Yeah,
like, I love bluesy music, but definitely Zach Bryan got like I really like him.
Yeah,
we just lost a legend in Toby Keith. We just lost an absolute legend. Very patriotic guy. You know that song he sings. He actually sang it for the troops, and it was supposed to be just like a one-time fucking song, and then it fucking blew up. What the hell's the name of it? Why am I drawing a blank?
American Soldier.
That was supposed to be like a one-and-done song that he sang for the troops to inspire them. It turned out to be one of his number one hits. Yeah.
Toby Keith cost me a billboard, and I'm not even mad about it.
Oh.
I'm not even mad about it.
It was sad. Man. I think he was like 62 or something.
And yeah, passed. I'm just still a nobody in the music game. That's fucking Toby Keith, man.
What's the story there? What happened?
So on the charts and everything, we were still hanging out in the top 10 and everything, and on certain Billboard charts, you got to remain in like the top 15 or top 25 for so long in order to get a Billboard. And his death happened the week after my music release. Oh, wow. And like 75 of his songs went into the top 100 and kicked us out.
Oh, damn.
And but at the end of the day, I wasn't mad about it at all. I fucking love Toby Keith, man. He's a legend.
How did he die?
Cancer.
Yeah.
62, I think.
Was it throat cancer or something?
I don't remember. No, stomach cancer. That's why he lost all that weight. Yeah, yeah. He was very, very, yeah, very skinny when he passed.
Yeah. But no, man.
Isn't that what got Patrick Swayze, too? Wasn't it stomach cancer?
Patrick Swayze's dead?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I didn't know he died.
Oh, is that what it was? Dude, they just came out. They just released. Well, I don't know if it's released yet, but they just filmed Roadhouse 2.
No, it's over. It's out.
It's out? Is it out?
Released, yeah. When the fuck did Patrick Swayze die?
Oh, my God.
10 years ago?
More than that. No, 15 years ago, probably. 2009,
maybe? Where the fuck have I been?
You didn't know that?
No. Really?
No, he was on the front page. Remember all those trash magazines, like as you walk through to cash out, like Inquirer or whatever? He was on the. I always remember seeing his face, like, because he was very gaunt, very. You know, like, you lost a lot of weight at the end. It was sad, bro, because that dude was a legend. Roadhouse, he was a fucking legend.
No shit.
Yep.
That shows you how much I pay attention to the fucking news.
Yeah, bro.
I had no idea that.
Frankie's favorite movie to this day is Ghost.
No. His movies.
That's a fucking good movie.
That is a good movie, bro.
It's all right.
That is a good movie.
It's a love movie.
It's a good love movie.
Next to Kin, bro.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. Him and his brother wipe out a whole goddamn crime family.
It's still Roadhouse for me.
Yeah, great, the only Roadhouse is great, but the ending, come on, you ripped the guy's throat out. That was a little. I was like, the end. You thought that was great?
That was an amazing ending.
It's impossible. You couldn't do it. Impossible. No way. You could not do it.
I'd bite it.
You couldn't rip anybody's throat out.
I'd bite it off.
Nobody could do that.
No, I know.
Little.
I'll bite your fucking throat off.
That's a good ending, though. I actually like that ending.
Yeah, no, it was fucking classic.
Was
and I don't
movie.
Get how this movie has this dude, whatever, Patrick Swayze's character is in the UFC.
I know.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
What is it?
Patrick Swayze's
Conor McGregor plays.
Is a former UFC fighter.
Yeah.
And Conor McGregor, you remember the guy that he fought, like, he had the where he ripped his throat out? Mm-hmm. Conor McGregor plays that role,
mm-hmm.
from what it seems like to me.
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
But it looks like it's a totally different movie, so I don't know how along the line is of the original one.
Yep. Damn.
Yeah, I didn't know he died.
Really? Dude, he could play a badass, he could play a romantic, Dirty Dancing. Nobody puts Baby in the Corner.
Nobody puts Baby in the Corner.
He was great, man. He really was. Next to Kin, that's a good call on that one. That was a great movie.
Red Dawn.
Oh, my fucking God. How did I forget Red Dawn? That's probably one of my favorites. That was one of his early ones. Remember, he shot the deer. Who shot the deer?
Was he in Outsiders, too?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Ralph Macchio was in Outsiders, right?
Yep.
But anyway, they take to the hills, right, to get away from the Russians, and they shoot the deer. It's like, you got to drink the blood, first blood, you got to drink it. Yeah, crazy, man.
What's the I know it's not Patrick Swayze, but it's Tom Cruise. Not Tom Cruise, but it's Brad Pitt. What's the military movie that he's in?
Tank?
Yeah.
Fury.
Oh, Fury. Yeah, great.
That's a fucking
great movie,
man.
Oh, he was also, it wasn't Fury. What's the one where he was, they took on the Germans, the Nazis?
Glorious Bastards.
Glorious Bastards. Yeah. That was great, bro. That was funny as hell.
That's
some of
Tarantino. You can't even miss.
Yeah,
bro.
He doesn't miss.
He doesn't miss, man.
Great movie.
He said there's one more movie coming up. That's it. Last movie.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to do 10 total films. That's it.
No shit.
That dude worked at Blockbuster. He was a movie fanatic. He worked at Blockbuster, and then he just directed. What was his first
Quentin
movie?
Quentin Tarantino?
Well,
wasn't Reservoir Dogs.
True Romance was something he'd had involved. You know, did you ever see True Romance?
I don't remember. What was that about?
Oh, man. Put True Romance up. It's with everybody's in it. Christopher Walken, Christian Slater, right? Yeah, Patricia, Dennis Harper, Val Kilmer, Gary Oldman, Brad Pitt. Yeah, dude. You ever seen this movie?
He directed this?
Yeah.
Well, I got to see a little bit of it to know.
He wrote it.
Oh, he wrote it.
Yeah, he wrote it.
And that's his first.
Yeah, I think this is one of his first.
Wasn't Reservoir Dogs early on?
I think that was his first one.
Oh, okay, so it was. All right.
That's a hell of a movie.
Dude, I had to watch that a couple times. You can't keep up with it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of jumps around a little bit. All Quentin Tarantino's movies jump around, every one of them.
Which one? Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction is all over the place, bro.
That's great, though.
Would you say his last movie's going to be?
I don't know what's going to be, but I know he has
one more movie.
Yeah.
Dust Till Dawn.
No, he didn't do Dust Till Dawn.
He didn't.
No, it was in Dust. He wrote and starred in, but he didn't direct it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well,
he was in it. I know he was in it.
He directed.
He played a nut job.
Yeah, he directed. Which 10 movies, right? Yeah.
Wait, what was Margot Robbie in that he directed? Who appeared in Tarantino? To then. Oh, I don't think I saw
that.
He
has one more movie. You didn't see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I didn't see that.
Wow, I haven't seen that.
This is fucking fantastic.
Is it?
It has to do with the Charles Manson murders, but he changes the ending of it.
Oh.
And he has Bruce Lee in here. Bruce Lee getting fucked up by Brad Pitt. And like all the Bruce Lee fans were so pissed about it.
Really?
Yeah. But supposedly...
I got to see this.
He says that the lore is that Bruce Lee wasn't as bad as he was. That's what he's saying. Supposedly, like
Quentin Tarantino was saying.
Yes, yeah.
Wow. I've never heard of this movie.
This movie's fucking great, dude.
What is your?
I'm a Margot Robbie fan.
Oh, for sure. As a martial artist, do you think Bruce Lee was that? I mean, he's a little guy, but that little guy, listen, no offense, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a badass. But how would he do in modern age MMA? Obviously, he's not an MMA.
He wasn't even really a fighter, bro. You know what I mean? I don't think he fought, really. I think all that stuff wasn't true.
He was made to be a movie star, basically.
Yeah, he was more of a movie star. Yeah, I mean, he was a super athlete. Don't get me wrong.
Well, would you say the same about, like, Chuck Norris?
But no, Chuck Norris has actually competed.
Yeah.
He competed.
Bruce Lee never competed?
I don't think he really did, okay. As much as they make it out to see. But, like, Bruce Lee, to me, the Jeet Kune Do, you know what that is? That's the style that he invented. He is he might be the godfather of mixed martial arts. He used to study Ali. He used to study judo and wrestling. Like, he kind of brought it all together. So
why wouldn't he be dangerous in real life?
I'm sure he was, but he just wasn't proven like these other guys. Right. You know, he didn't really have these competitions, I don't think.
Abdul-Jabbar trained under him, right?
Yeah, yep.
How about, I think we talked about this before, but I just saw a video of him recently training with the Brazilian guy there, the badass. I don't know why these guys entertain him, but Steven Seagal. Mm.
With Pajada.
Pajada, yeah.
Is he legit?
Steven Seagal?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Aikido is an art that, like, we both have to be doing it together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing Aikido and I fucking crack in the mouth, I don't know if it's going to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all like, I think it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, I've never heard of a guy in MMA. Listen, I'm not saying guys probably haven't dabbled in it. They probably have, but it never gets a mention. In MMA. I've never heard of a commentator ever say, he's a master of Aikido.
Yeah.
Never. No. I've never heard that.
He was in UFC 1. He didn't make it out of the first round. No. Margot Robbie.
Are you an MMA fan?
I am. Yeah.
You are. UFC? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
I
grew up watching Frankie,
man. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He's a little.
You guys catch the fights this weekend?
You know what I'm gonna say?
I think he saw the highlights.
I watched the highlights.
Man. I watched the highlights. I didn't catch the.
I fell asleep. If I had my kids, bro, I'm sleeping by 10 o'clock.
I will tell you one thing that I can't stand to do is go watch UFC fights at a bar somewhere, because 60% of the bar thinks they're UFC fighters.
Yeah.
It's fucking on UFC night.
Well, that doesn't bother me unless they're rooting against somebody I'm rooting for. That doesn't bother me because at least they're into it. I get annoyed. When you go to a sports bar that is showing UFC fights on 8 out of the 10 TVs in there because it's a big fight, and people don't give a fuck, and they're like, DJ, turn the music. Why are you here?
Right.
Fuck it, I'm here for the UFC fights. Right. You're here to fucking dance. You want to go line dancing.
I'm talking about these motherfuckers that like try to bar fight everybody they come across on UFC night. Like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
No, but I'm a big UFC fan, man. Like, I grew up watching Frankie and... You know, I grew up wrestling, and I've done BJJ for several years and everything. And
I'm sure that's super helpful when you were a cop, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's touch on that a little bit. I mean, there's obviously a wide-spelled belief that cops are under-trained in how to what do I want to say? Combat or how to take down? There you go. Yeah. Controlling a suspect. What was your training like when you trained? How much would you get? 2 days of? I'm joking, of course. How much training did you get in controlling a suspect?
So, I think it honestly just depends on the. I'm not gonna straight up lie to you. I think that what you said is the truth. I think that a lot of cops are undertrained when it comes to defensive tactics. And I was a defensive tactics instructor for my police department, and fucking once a year.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, it's the same with your handgun, right? That you have to qualify. It's once a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just depends on what department you're at.
Right.
No, because sometimes, you know,
like, SWAT, obviously.
I was on
different.
SWAT for 5 years, that's, you know, different. We trained all the time. But, like, qualifications for the police department's, like, quarterly.
Mm.
You know, some cops are, the only time they're shooting their fucking handgun is at qualifications 3 times a year, four times a year. You know, they're not, like, trust me, I've been on the streets with cops that had no fucking business being out there. Mm. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, and then I've worked with cops that are fucking awesome, you know? Cops that are some of the toughest people I've come across in my life, and some of the people that I look at, and I'm like, I don't know how you've survived this long. I think it becomes each person. Like, you either, like, this is a life or death job,
yeah.
You know? Like, and I think a lot of times some people want to put on the uniform and carry the fucking power trip and the fucking and shit like that, and... I was a cop for 10 years, and I don't like all cops.
What was it?
that's just the truth, you know what I'm saying?
Valdi or whatever it is, Texas, I mean, that was a perfect example of cops that didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, only knowing you for about an hour now, but you seem like a confident, you know, probably popular kid growing up a little bit. You think some cops that maybe were picked on this and that, they get this power, they're like, yo, I'm gonna flex my muscles now.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, I definitely could see that happening. Right?
100%. Yeah.
Well, that's the go-to, right? You were picked on in high school, so now you use your authority. Right.
Dude, I remember this is a funny story. Like, it's not funny, but it's just the truth. When I talk about some people have no business being cops, I was on the other side of the city, and we had a shots fired call in this apartment complex. And I start tailing ass over there, you know what I'm saying? And, like, on our computer system in our car, you can see where every other cop is in the city. You know, like, we can track where everybody is. Hmm. So you see their car moving on the computer. And we get a shots fired call in this apartment complex. I start heading over there. And I see this one of our officers' cars right by the fucking call. And they just keep driving. And they keep driving like 10 blocks up. And I get, and then, like, as I'm getting ready to get to the call, you see him turn around and come back towards the apartment complex. I get there and I'm probably by myself for, you know, 2-3 minutes. And this, now, at the end of the day, nothing happened. You know, nothing shitty happened.
You don't know that going there, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she pulled in, and at the end of that call, I literally looked at her. And I was like, if I would have got, I said, this is just tough love. This isn't a fucking, like, this, like, I'm not going to sugarcoat shit. This isn't a job for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally looked at her and I said, if I would have been shot on this call, you better hope that I died. Or I probably would have shot you too.
Yeah. Well, in every profession, cops being one of the most important ones that is losing out in this. You're getting diversity hires now, so you're not getting the best of the best. You're getting people that are just getting it because of whatever reason.
You could probably get a job now.
Because I'm fat or old.
That's 100. I mean, that's honestly the 100% the truth. I remember when I got hired on the police.
I'm not just saying about cops. I want when I get on, go up in a plane. I want the best fucking pilot.
Yeah.
Driving that thing, flying that thing.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody that came in, you know, fucking 45th, but got the position because of whatever reason.
And that's the thing is, when I first applied to police departments back in, God, it's probably 2010, 2011, I was going up against 1,200 people, 1,200 other applicants were going for two positions on a police department, you know? And at the end of my career, we would hold processes looking for eight people, and there would be 21 people that showed up for a process to be hired on as a cop. And you're looking for fill eight positions.
Yeah.
Like, what are the caliber of people that you're fucking getting
exactly.
doing that?
Exactly.
You know? So, no, like, when people say, like, cops are this, cops are that, no. The majority of cops are. I wouldn't say majority. I don't know. You know, you never put a number on it. But a lot of cops out there are doing what they're supposed to do on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. You know, they take the job seriously.
Yeah, no, I think most are. I would say most, right? I mean, there's always, like, in any faction of any group of people, there's just people that are not doing the right thing.
Right.
You know?
I think you got to want to be a cop badly. I'm a good example of a guy that I never, like, aspired to be a cop. I think it's a cool job, but but I remember my buddy, I'll say his first name, Steve. He was a sheriff. And he was at my house one day, and he's like, "Bro, you look the part, fucking, you're athletic, not athletic, but in shape, whatever. Yeah. You know, you should go take the civil service test." I'm like, "Really? You think so?" And I'd been in the union for probably 10, 15 years at that point. And I was like, "He's like, dude, you're running out of time. You're in your 30s. I think you got to what
35
to do it. I was probably like 32 or something, 30, whatever." I was like, "You think so?" And he kind of talked me into it. He's like, "Bro, you get on the sheriff's department, you put your 20, 25 in." I was like, and I already had like 15 in the unit. I was like, "All right, I'll go do it."
Yeah.
So I remember I signed up for the civil service test. I was in Maine. I was in fucking Maine with my family, and I got an email that I had to fucking take the test the next day. I drove all the way back from Maine, took that test, never studied at all for it. It's weird questions on there, too. And I think I got like a 78 on it. I was like, "Oh, that's not good. I'm not going to be a cop." Yeah.
Wow. You're going to be a criminal.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to fall through the cracks of any profession, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's shitty dentists out there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you, brother. We appreciate you coming in, talking about the fucking ups and downs.
You got to let us know. We got to book some dates here in Jersey, bro, so we can come catch you perform.
Hey, if you got a venue, hit me up. I'll do it.
Oh, dude, we love it. We love it. If you were still doing comedy, I could get you in a local spot that I'm kind of friends with the
owner. That's Frankie's gig now.
It is Frankie's gig, yeah.
No, it was short-lived.
It's tough. It is tough. Yeah, but if you got a venue, music venue or anything like that, let me know. We'll book it.
We'll do, man. Sounds good, bro. We'd love to come see you. Regardless of seeing you perform or whatever, we got to fucking just chill again. You got to come back up here in the summertime.
Yeah, sometimes a little better.
I was saying that to him. You know, took him over to the seaside, just drove through real quick, and I was like, "Dude, it ain't like this in the summertime."
No.
Can't even drive as long as y'all
take me to the seaside, Jersey Shore, and take me on that Ferris wheel and shit like that.
Yeah, man. All right, brother. Charlie Kingery, Live PD, man. Yeah. Check out his music. Tell people where they can find you on Instagram. Tell people where they can find your music.
Yeah.
And if you have something coming up for a live gig, tell people where they can get tickets to that.
Yeah, for sure. So it's Kingery on all platforms. Spotify, Apple Music.
Isn't it Kingery Official?
Yeah, on the social media. It's Kingery, KINGERY _official. Kingery on all music platforms. You can check any of my socials to find any of my shows or anything like that. And I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah,
absolutely, brother. Yeah, you gotta sign the board before you leave.
I gotta sign the board. I gotta drink a couple more beers.
Yeah, man. Well, we can chill. Maybe we'll leave the cameras on if it gets good, right?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Guys, just a reminder, don't forget to find and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most other podcast platforms.